Welcome to the website of Community Bible Church. We hope it's helpful to you. We've included on our website sermons, both recent and in years past, that we think you will find a real help and encouragement as you listen to the teaching of God's Word. All I had to give, I gave. All I had to say, I've said to you. What will you do? All the tears I had, I cried. All the pain I felt inside. What will you do? Will you turn me down today? Will you up and walk away? Inside your heart you'll say, it's not for me. Laugh at me and turn me away. Say anything that you want to say, but all I'm telling you is true. And all I've done for you. And now I guess it's up to you. Will you do? All your life I've tried and tried just to find a place inside of you. What will you do? Think of all the things I said, and how upon that cross I bled for you. What will you do? Will you turn me down today? Will you up and walk away? Inside your heart you say, it's not for me. So laugh at me and turn me away. Say anything that you want to say, but all I'm telling is true. All I've done for you. Now I guess it's up to you. What will you do?
Thanks.
We have one more song for you, if we can. Honey, you're not as old as me. You should remember this. This is a Jesse Winchester song. We lost Jesse last year. What an incredible songwriter and a great guy. Boy, he wrote this 40 years ago. Simple. It's a cold, cold world that we're walking through. Lay down the burden of your heart. But it's warm as toast, walking two by two. Lay down the burden of your heart. Lay down the burden of your heart.
Daddy, where it hurts, and let your daddy lift it. It's a fine, fine line betwixt love and hate. Why it's tough to tell the two apart, but we know it's love that he offers you. So lay down the burden of your heart. Lay down the burden of your heart. I know you'll never miss it. Oh, show your daddy where it hurts, and let your daddy lift it. Oh, your daddy where it hurts, and let your daddy lift it.
Let's open our Bibles, if you would, to the book of Psalms, the 14th Psalm, actually. All right, let's pray together, and we're going to read the scriptures, and we'll talk for a few moments. Lord, thank you for your word. You have told us everything we need. We know that we can't handle everything, so you've given us what it is that we need in the scriptures. We thank you for your word. We believe that they are your words and that they have been handed down to us, guided by the Holy Spirit, to a book that is true. Thank you for your words and for these words of David today, and we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Psalm 14. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. Their deeds are vile. There is no one who does good. The Lord looks down from heaven on the sons of men to see if there are any who understand, any who seek God. All have turned aside. They have together become corrupt. There is no one who does good, not even one. Will evildoers never learn? Those who devour my people as men eat bread and do not call on the Lord, they overwhelmed with dread, for God is present in the company of the righteous. You evildoers frustrate the plans of the poor, but the Lord is their refuge. Oh, that salvation for Israel would come out of Zion. That's calling for a Savior to come back then. Very interesting. When the Lord restores the fortunes of his people, let Jacob rejoice and Israel be glad. Beautiful song that David wrote. But we're going to look at the very first statement, verse 1. The fool says in his heart, there is no God. There is this aggressive disbelief in our culture now. You guys, it's gone into high gear out there. At almost every level, this aggressive atheism just keeps coming at us all the time. But I don't want you to be intimidated by it at all. It's couched in academia in $3,000 suits with confidence and belligerence. Just because someone is confident doesn't make them right. In fact, did you hear about the preacher that he wasn't a very good preacher? And in his notes, he has a note in there that says, weak point, pound pulpit, right? So, I mean, when you got a weak point, say it loud and hit the pulpit, and somehow people will think you're right. There is a desperate rage among a lot of people right now. And they desperately rage against us. We are called to love them. We are called to treat them with honor and respect. And that's kind of hard to do when someone's trying to kill you. Richard Dawkins, the famous atheist from Oxford, England, says that you shouldn't debate with a Christian, you should belittle them. And so disruption has become just such a big thing now. There's no discourse. If you notice, our education secretary this last week went to Harvard. And at Harvard, they screamed throughout her entire speech. Now, Betty DeVos is a good woman. She's a sweet lady. And she has some ideas about education to help kids, especially kids in the inner city, to get better educations. And instead of listening to her discourse, it's now gone to just disruption. That's not an exchange of ideas. That's not showing respect. But this thing is just going on and on. So the problem with the atheists is that the problem isn't what they claim. They come up with these ideas. They think that they can shut us down. And it's just, it's really just sad. I want you to understand what the problem really is with our world and with this craziness that's going on. It'll give you clarity when you're faced with somebody who's aggressive this way, and you're going to run into them. I ran into an aggressive truck driver the other day. Man, I'm not driving, but I mean, coming at me, found out that I was a pastor, and how can you believe those fables? And I, you know, he railed for a little while, and I said, you know, you want to have a real conversation about this, or you just want to just blow off steam? What is it you want? He said, I don't know. I guess I'd talk to you. So we've got an appointment. We'll see how that goes. But I want you to know two simple things. Number one, it's not a head problem. The objections that are being thrown up about the Christian faith. Do you know, it was at Oxford in England, in their student activity associations where they have like a, they'll have, everybody has their booth set up, and when you're coming to school, we're going to show you things you can be involved in. They have not allowed the student Christian organization to put their booth up. The school union has said that Christianity is the biggest problem in the world and that it needs to be eradicated. Is that interesting? That's our best and brightest. So when that happens to you, I want you to know that their objections are answerable. I mean, what they're going to say is this, okay? How can a loving God allow this kind of pain in this world? And hey, by the way, it's awful. I don't know about you, but I have been at so many bedsides of people that I love. I've buried so many thousand people over the last many years. I have cleaned up after suicides. This world is a broken place, and the suffering in this world is awful. But I want you to understand something. If you will look at the Bible, it tells us why suffering is here. And what they probably don't want to know is that we caused it. By the fall of the human race, this curse fell on the world, and suffering and pain came along with it. And we know that Jesus came in history, in time and space, and died on a cross and was resurrected from the dead. And we have promises. You'll find them throughout Scripture, but in the book of Revelation, he's going to make all things new, and the curse will be gone, and suffering and pain will be over. It's really not a problem. And when they claim that we don't care about people who are suffering, who builds the hospitals? The Sisters of Mercy do. The Christian organizations, the Baptists, the Presbyterians, the Methodists, the Catholics, they're the ones that are building the hospitals and the orphanages. It's the Graham organization that does Samaritan's Purse and responded to all these disasters we just had. It's organizations like World Vision and Compassion International. I mean, we're actually doing something about the suffering in the world. It's us who have brought about modern medicine, and we have to be able to realize that. So anyhow, it's not a head problem. That isn't a problem. Or the others will say, so many people are saying it's either science or religion. Pick one. Are you kidding me? We need all the disciplines. We need all of it. And we have people saying that science is going to have all the answers. I was talking to a young biology major working on his master's, and he said to me, science is going to have all the answers we need. We don't need religion anymore. Do you know science can only answer certain questions? It can only answer how things operate. It can't tell us how things got here or why it's here. We need theology and philosophy. I think that's a right point, right? That's right. And so we need all of that. You know, like, for instance, he said, you know, this whole thing about miracles. Jesus was born of a virgin. You know, the water parting for Moses. You know, that prophet guy that swam around in a fish after it swallowed him. Are you kidding me? Because he wouldn't go to Nineveh. Come on, the Jonah thing can't be true. But what we don't realize is how miraculous our life is right now. Let me tell you, this all seems stable, right? The seasons come and go. The earth is rotating at 1,000 miles an hour right now, this rock that we're living on. It's careening around the sun at 47,000 miles an hour. And that solar system is careening through a universe at 1,000,000 miles an hour right now. And the seasons come and go here. This is so finely tuned. Human life exists on earth. We live in a miracle. So miracles happen all the time. We live in one. So it's a silly argument. It's science or religion. Science and religion go hand in hand. You got the founders of modern science, Galileo and Newton. These guys believed that there was a reasonable God, and since there was a reasonable God, they could, through reason and research, find out things about the world, about the earth, about the universe. And they were right. That was the foundation of it all. Let me put it this way to you. I remember my first computer. It was a Dell laptop. Oh, I have moved way beyond that. But I remember that first Dell computer I had. I remember when it was delivered. And I turned it on and I hooked it up to the sites that I wanted to see. You know, downloaded my contact list and all that. And I remember what I said. It's like magic. That's an incredible thing. What an incredible device. And one day, one of you came to see me and I said, okay, look, man, this thing is so magical. Can you explain to me how this works? And this guy took a pad and paper and drew out diagrams of how Microsoft Office works. And I'm telling you, man, it was mind-boggling the way this thing works and how it's put together and how it all operates. It was absolutely amazing. So I saw how it worked, but I want you to know, after he showed me how Microsoft worked, he didn't try to tell me that Bill Gates didn't exist. Bill Gates designed that thing, right? He's the one that put that together. So how schizophrenic is that to see the detail of the world and then act like God doesn't exist? It's not a head problem. The answers are there. It really isn't a problem for thinking, really, at all. The deeper we go, the more amazed we are at the fingerprints of God as the creator. And Pastor Gall says the grand finale of all of that has been the discovery of DNA in the last generation. That incredible information that is shared in every organism. Amazing. Absolutely amazing. So it's not a head problem, so what is it? I'm going to tell you. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. It's a heart problem, not a head problem. The heart is where unbelief originates. In the Bible, when it says here, the fool says in his heart, it's so interesting to me. The word fool means being morally deficient. You know what's happening? I'm doing what I want to do, and nobody's going to rule over me. That's what the problem really is. There's something about sin. It has a way of directing our lives. It creates hardness of heart. It creates darkness and confusion. We want to do what we want to do. In fact, you know, this is also what we read in this particular psalm is also recorded in part of what Paul wrote in the book of Romans chapter 1. He gathers up a whole bunch of scripture about the heart problem of the human race, and he puts it in Romans chapter 1 beginning at verse 21. For although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God or gave thanks to him, but their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images made to look like mortal man, birds and animals and reptiles. Therefore God gave them over to sinful desires of their hearts, to sexual impurity, for the degrading of their bodies with one another. They exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshipped and served created things rather than the Creator, who is forever praised. Amen. Because of this, God gave them over to shameful lusts. Even their women exchanged natural relations for unnatural ones. In the same way, men also abandoned natural relations with women and were inflamed with lust for one another. Men committed indecent acts with other men and received in themselves the due penalty for their perversion. Furthermore, when they did not think it worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God, he gave them over to a depraved mind to do what ought not be done. They have become filled with every kind of wickedness, evil, greed, depravity, and are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, and malice. Are you depressed enough yet? Let's keep reading. And they gossip, slanderers, God-haters, insolent, arrogant, and boastful. They invent ways of doing evil. They disobey their parents. They are senseless, faithless, heartless, ruthless. Although they know God's righteous decree that those who do such things deserve death, they not only continue to do these very things, but also approve of those who participate and practice in them. Very interesting. So it's a heart problem. It's not about, let me put it this way. Here's a statement I want to give you. It's not about the origin of the species. It's not about the origin of the species. It's about the autonomy of the species. Self-government. I want to run my life. I don't want to have to answer to a God. It's not about the origin of the species. It's about the autonomy of the species. And they're getting desperate. Do you know that a businessman in Russia just recently gave Stephen Hawking $100 million to find extraterrestrial life? They want so much to us have come from aliens. It's just pathetic. Okay, I want to say this. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Let me give you a quote from Isaiah. The ox knows its master. The donkey knows its owner's manger. But Israel does not know me. These very ones who claim that God does not exist are creations of God. And they're not wise enough to see it. So I want you to know, when you face these things in our culture with the folks that are around us, I don't want you to be intimidated. I want you to be calm. I want you to listen to what they have to say and have an honest conversation with them if they'll do it. There's no reason for you to be intimidated or feel bad about it, to be afraid of the whole thing, because we really believe that we have the truth and they need it. Myron always has told a story when he was pastoring on the island, Washington Island, 50 years ago or something. He was just a baby. He grew a mustache in self-defense because he looked like 12 at the time. Such a fair-skinned little Irishman, you know? So anyhow, when he was on the island, this young man joined the Marines, went away to the Marines. When he came back, he said to Myron, I have been trained to be a killer, Pastor Gall. And let me tell you, I could give you a samurai sword. And I could take a hat pin, and we could do battle, and I would kill you. And you know what Myron said? I'll take those odds. I'll take those odds. Yeah, let's do it. He goes, oh yeah? What are you going to do when I take my hat pin and I let out a blood-curdling scream? You know what Myron said? Start slicing. Do you know that the scriptures are alive? They are the living word of God. And they do surgery on people. It says that it cuts to the very intentions of people's hearts. So you know, knowing the scriptures are very important for us. And there's no reason for you to not answer with a scriptural answer to people, because they need the scriptures. Start slicing, man. I'm telling you. You've got the answers. We don't believe in violence in any way, shape, or form. I think the illustration speaks for itself. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Stop being afraid of the world in which you live. Justin wrote a thing about how our nation, you know, it really is no longer a Christian nation. And in fact, I wrote back to him in his blog that our nation used to be a Christian nation at one point, and now we have a nation. In fact, 30 years ago, it was Francis Schaeffer that was saying it's post-Christian. But I believe now it's pre-Christian. It's been so lost on this young culture that they so desperately need a fresh word from God. And you and me, God's people in this world, are the ones he's sending into that world to love them and to tell them and to show them. Man, it's important. We have got great days ahead of us. We have great opportunity. Jesus said, lift your eyes, look at the fields. They are ripe for harvest. Ask the Lord of the harvest to thrust out workers into his field. Come on, go with us. Sherry.
I just want to share, as you're sharing that, I got the opportunity to still share my story, but more and more I talk about Jesus in it. And I really talked about, you know, getting straight on the scripture and stuff, because I had strayed away into some positive thinking and professing out to the atmosphere.
Yeah.
And I had about six people in the room, and it was very interesting because they told me they needed to hear that they had gotten into spirituality and they and their lives are just a mess, and they all have mental illness, and they said it's getting worse and worse. And I said, listen, I didn't start getting healed again until I got back into the Word of God. And it's just really nice because
wow,
that story that I tell more about Jesus and the whole thing.
It's yeah. Just, isn't that great? It's a good thing. It happens everywhere, you guys. So, it's just so important. Where are you? Where's your life? Who's around you? You think all this is a mistake, that you're in that job? There are people around you that need you. And I'm not talking about beating people over the head with the Bible. I'm talking about being God's child where you are. People are so desperate. The loneliness, the brokenness, the hopelessness, the meaninglessness of our society is everywhere. We're God's kids in this place. So, listen. Being the church isn't about necessarily being in this building. I mean, we meet together for encouragement. We're a family. That's a great thing. But the biggest part of being a child of God is what we do every day of the week. It's all out there. So, anyhow, you think about that. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. It's not a head problem. It's a heart problem. And God has the answer for it. So let's stand together to pray, shall we? Come on. Lord, thank you for your word and for the simplicity of all of this. We ask that you will help each of us to face our world and not be afraid. Thank you that we're just lost sinners who found a Savior. We got nothing to be proud of except you, Lord. We're proud of you. We ask that you would use us. Give us hearts that are humble. And Lord, help us not to be self-righteous, because when we start thinking that we're all that, we've become self-righteous, and that, man, that messes up everything. Help us with all of it. We give ourselves to you. Lord, as a congregation, we offer ourselves to you today to affect and to love the people around us. Thank you for Sherry's example, Lord. What a joy for me to have watched the last 35 years of her life and to have watched everything that she has been through, and to see her come out and serve you in this way is so wonderful. Father, use all of us here. Thank you for the joy of knowing you and having your people together today. Thanks for our food. Thank you for the hard work of all that prepared. We look forward to it and to our fellowship. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, thank you for visiting the website of Community Bible Church. We hope you found it helpful. Also, if you're ever in or around Waterford, Michigan, we would love to have you come and visit us for a Sunday morning service. We'd love to have you come. Let us know you found us on the web. So God bless you, my friends.